New signs of division in Europe at the worst possible time.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson in for Steve Chiatakis with the global perspective on business and economics. We're just a few days away from the deadline European leaders have set to come up with a grand solution to the debt crisis. In Athens today, the Greek parliament will take final votes on a package of budget cuts needed for Greece to get more bailout money. Those votes are expected to be close. But perhaps more concerning is news that German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Nicolas Sarkozy may have reached an impasse on the subject of how to use the big Euro rescue fund. For more, we go to reporter Christopher Wirth, who is live for us in London. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So tell us what this disagreement is about.
Well, they're divided over how to magnify the power of the fund. It's worth about $600 billion now, and that's not going to be enough to solve any of the problems facing the Eurozone. Some analysts say it's going to take several trillion dollars. And so to increase that firepower, the French want to do that by borrowing money from the European Central Bank. Germany doesn't like that plan at all.
Well, then I guess maybe this is the time to ask, what happens if they can't agree on a credible plan by the deadline Sunday?
Well, I think it's safe to say that the response won't be good. I spoke with Andrew Hilton at the CSFI think tank here in London. He said European leaders are really trying to lower expectations ahead of this Sunday deadline.
A couple of weeks ago, this was the key date. Everything was going to be resolved on Sunday. This was the big meeting. And after that, we could all go off into a sunlit future. Now, I think the markets are much more skeptical.
And, you know, Jeremy, I think a lot of the attention has been focused on Greece over the past couple of days. But the wider risk is if they don't increase the power of the fund, is that it won't be big enough to deal with much bigger economies like Italy and Spain.
Reporter Christopher Wirth joining us from London this morning. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, thanks, Jeremy.
Well, here in this country, we'll get earnings today from Microsoft. The company has been getting a bit more aggressive with Apple recently. It hopes to open up about 75 Apple-style retail stores in this country in the next few years. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
This Friday, the band The Black Keys is playing a ribbon cutting. Microsoft executives are hoping to create a little buzz around the opening of their newest retail store in Seattle. Jeff Rosters at Gartner Research. He says you could think of these stores as laboratories where Microsoft can study these weird creatures, its customers.
Understanding how your products are being used would make any profit or loss almost a rounding error.
In other words, these stores don't have to make money to be a success. If you want to know what a Microsoft store looks like, picture an Apple store and then put the staff in bright colored t-shirts. And there's good reason to imitate Apple. The night Steve Jobs died, I swung by an Apple store in Palo Alto. There was a little memorial outside. But the really striking thing was just how many people were inside shopping.
Right, and it's always that way.
Jeff Green's a retail analyst in Phoenix. He says Apple stores earn more than twice as much cash per square foot than any retail chain in the world.
Apple is a powerhouse.
Microsoft now has a dozen stores in the U.S., but the company has been quiet about how much money they're making. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in overseas trading this morning, about 1% lower in Tokyo, 0.5% right now in London, and down about 0.6% in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 72 points to close at 11,504.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Well, today, about 20,000 water experts are wrapping up a big conference here in Southern California. They've been talking about the water we flush away and how to reuse more of it. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Troe reports.
If I say designer water, you likely picture an expensive glass bottle at a fancy restaurant, not sewer water. But Shivaji Deshmukh says his sewage treatment plant just south of Los Angeles makes designer water too.
We're designing the water to fit the needs for our customers.
Those customers range from golf courses to a Chevron refinery that uses the water for cooling towers.
We can do it cheaper than their alternative supply.
And thus, industrial customers help fund the plant. It makes 47 million gallons of water a day by squeezing out waste solids, those can become fertilizer, then chemically treating and filtering the water that's left. Eco-friendly, yes, but the process? Not so pretty.
There's kind of a reddish film on top of this, but when we get to the end of this plan, we're going to have water that we can drink.
That's Matt Reese. He's with the Water Environment Federation. He says wastewater recycling needs better PR to overcome the gross-out factor, because it's really just a technological take on the natural water cycle.
We've been doing it forever. The same water here in these tanks is the same water the dinosaurs swam in. We have a finite amount of water on this planet, and it keeps getting recycled and recycled and recycled.
He says we need to recycle more water and faster as global population grows, and charge more for it to fund new infrastructure. Engineers and managers from around the world take notes as they tour the plant.
What's your name and where are you from?
Rodolfo, I'm from Brazil.
At the end, they raise plastic cups.
Cheers, that's the money card.
And taste sewage made drinkable.
Yeah, it tastes good.
Everyone else agrees, but no plans to bottle it just yet. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, to a new search engine from someone who probably hasn't been Googled in a while. That would be 80s and 90s rapper MC Hammer. At a conference in San Francisco yesterday, Hammer unveiled a new web service called WireDo that's supposed to add related search information to search results. So if you search for, say, MC Hammer, you might find links to dance classes or stores that sell parachute pants. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Stop. Hammer time. And this is APM, American Public Media.
In a film about the financial crisis, you might expect a good guy, that'd be us, and a bad guy, the banks. Think a little harder, the truth is a little more nuanced.
There actually is no pure evil. Each character is simply trying to act on the information that they have before them.
I'm Kai Rizdal, a Wall Street thriller, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.